Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by our friends at Baptist Health. Well, it was a great weekend on the pitch against the two newest rivals for FIU in Delaware and Missouri State, the newcomers in the conference, in this case, in Conference USA and the American, respectively, as both FIU women's and men's soccer come away with huge, huge wins. We'll start it on the women's side. Delaware hadn't lost a single match yet, and now they've got one in the loss column thanks to their new friends in Conference USA, these FIU Panthers. Montalene Diamond had the game-winning goal and has really just continued what has been a breakout season for her. Shinatsu Kayo was outstanding alongside her, picking up two assists. So we talked to Monty about what this season has been like, the first for new FIU head man Matt Dunn, what that transition was like from north of the border to down here in Miami, and so much more. So without further ado, one of the best goal scorers in Conference USA, Montalene Diamond. Joined now by the match-winning goal scorer, a phrase we've used a good amount this year already for the season of Montalene Diamond, fresh off a trip from Newark, Delaware. Let's start right there, right? It's a run I think we've already seen you make a few times this year where you're not on screen, you're not on the camera yet, and then all of a sudden you're on screen and the ball's in the back of the net. Kind of take us through the run that led to the goal.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of just been my signature thing at this point. I feel like all my goals have looked the exact same.
Yeah.
So I guess it's what I'm good at. My speed has like really been a big part in my ability to be getting these chances. So I see like my midfielders, they've been great at getting the ball up to me and trusting in me to get onto that ball and put it in the back of the net.
Chi-Chi wound up with two assists on the day as well.
Yeah.
How has that relationship grown? Obviously, you know, that's not a newcomer, right? You didn't just meet her. But how have you two kind of formed that renewed connection as you've kind of taken on this expanded role?
Yeah, I mean, she's just amazing. I love playing with her. And she's so talented. She's such a hard worker. And she's like the most adorable person ever. So she's just great to be around on and off the field.
And then kind of on the other end of it, right? You and Jaden, we've been talking about it since the word go, right? And now it works the way it was kind of always designed. You and Jaden both get a goal. So how have you two kind of fed off each other? Hey, here's what I saw. Here's what I think. And utilizing that relationship to obviously better you both.
Yeah, I mean, we're like the complete opposite kinds of forwards.
Yeah.
And she's really good at doing what she does best. And, you know, I guess I'm good at doing what I do. And
you are.
It's good to have those two kind of dynamics to like match up, because not every team is going to be the same. You know, some games it's going to be slower defenders where that's where I go in, you know, I use my pace. And then other games it's going to be, I guess, the opposite of that, but that's where Jaden is able to do her thing. It's been great.
Kind of take us through the comparison point. You know, obviously this time last year, the team maybe had some higher highs in the non-conference schedule, right? But also was a very different looking team. And now we go into conference play, and that's a humongous win against a very good Delaware team that you guys just nailed down. So how does this time this year feel different than this time last year for you?
Last year, it took a while to build up to the point that we were at. I mean, I just came in as a transfer, but I know that that team had been building for a while.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in that building phase. I kind of just came in and was in the winning phase, which was really great to experience. But
for sure,
we're kind of doing that again, it feels like. So there's a lot of different parts that we're still trying to put together. But I think those games were good in learning who works with who, what formations are working, stuff like that. And it kind of just came together in our first conference game. So I think we're going to be like a lot more confident going into our conference play now.
Did you find yourself enjoying that building part? Or is it, hey, winning is cool and that's ultimately what we wanted to get to?
No, it's definitely great to win. I love to win. I don't know who doesn't, but yeah, the building part is definitely a lot more work, I would say. But it's good to, like, you know, learn and I don't know.
It's a tricky thing, right? Because obviously every team wants to come out. And like you say, you join a team that's instant winners. And last year's squad had played for a long time together, taken their lumps and done that build. So that part of it's great. But there is also that element of, okay, now this is mine. And maybe you feel that way now, where there's that kind of increased sense of ownership for you with this year's team because you laid that foundation and have now taken it, obviously, to this next level with a humongous conference win.
I definitely feel a lot of ownership coming from a season where we were so successful and just keeping that standard. So, yeah, definitely.
You were kind of the guinea pig, all of you, in a trip to Newark. That's a brand new school for all of us here in Conference USA and obviously here at FIU as well. So, how was Newark, Delaware?
Their field is amazing. I was
Okay.
not expecting that from more like northern, I guess, because like up in Canada, we don't have grass fields that are that nice. It was honestly so nice. I really enjoyed playing there. So, yeah, it was great.
It's good to hear. We're going to learn all in real time exactly what's up there. You know, you can read everything, but it's going to be an experience for every FIU team now. You mentioned Canada. Let's kind of go back to the beginning here a little bit with you. Take us through where you decide, okay, I think I've got the pedigree. I've seen the success. I want to take my talent down to the States and go play at the collegiate level.
Growing up being Canadian as an athlete, it's kind of like some athletes do want to stay in Canada, but I don't know. I just felt very ambitious growing up and I always wanted to play in the States because the schools are bigger here, you know, lots
Course.
more better competition. So that was always a dream of mine for hockey as well. I also played hockey.
And even in that process, you know, compared to say hockey or even flag football, I don't think you ever really saw yourself playing flag football at the collegiate level. But even in that process, you're going through and you're playing those sports. When did soccer kind of stand out to you as, okay, this is the one, this is where my future is on the pitch?
I would say I started going to like showcase tournaments when I was, I think, 15 or 16, and I did really well. So I just kind of started to switch my focus to soccer rather than hockey, and I got a lot of, I guess, exposure, and I was talking to a lot of different coaches. So, kind of where my soccer journey took off was at the showcases that I went to.
If I had come to a younger Monty before that, and I offer you both, you know, you can play pro hockey or, you know, high level hockey or pro soccer, would you have said hockey at the
I think so, yeah.
time?
Yeah, just being Canadian, it's such a big sport there and
It's, yeah.
it's everywhere. So, yeah. But I would never, I'm so happy it worked out this way. I love soccer and I wouldn't change it for the world. So,
And generally, the colleges that are playing high level hockey tend to not be in warm places.
exactly. So, that's a great reason why I pick soccer. I love the warm weather.
You're going through your process, right? And you grew up about 90 minutes outside Toronto. And for anyone who doesn't know, you can agree with this or disagree if you want. But I think Toronto is like the New York City of Canada, where
Definitely.
not the capital, but it kind of really is.
It
And it's such a multinational city. I don't think people realize that.
is.
And so you go from that to Kansas, which is very different in so many ways. Kind of
Crazy.
take us through that transition for you.
Well, growing up 90 minutes outside of Toronto, it was like very country. So it wasn't that big of a shock to me going to Kansas. I was kind of used to that like farmland kind of vibe, you know? So yeah, it wasn't that big of a shock. I enjoyed Kansas, but I do love being in the city. So
And then, as you're going into the portal, right? And you and I have talked about this before, but for those who maybe don't know your journey, what were you looking for in your next home that ultimately led you to FIU?
well, originally I wanted to move back closer to home. I was talking to a lot of schools like around the border area because I wanted my family to be able to come and see more games, and I felt very homesick at Kansas also, but I was just young, you know, and I just feel like that happens to all freshmen. They get very homesick. But then I decided to go the complete opposite direction and I moved the furthest place from home because I came here on my trip, my visit, and I just fell in love with everything here.
When South Florida gets the extra boost of Canadian presence in the winter, and it is hefty, do you feel that? Do you get to enjoy that part of it where, you know, come 2 months from now, there's going to be a lot of folks coming down from Canada to down here in South Florida?
Well, I'll be at home for Christmas break, so I
There you
won't
go.
even. It's kind of the opposite. My parents, I think they want to come here for Christmas this year, so we'll see. They love visiting here. My mom was just here. My dad wants to come back. I have two brothers also, and they want to come down here, so.
Especially in December. Having been in this situation, Monty, I'll tell you, when I worked in North Dakota, it was talk about my family, and it was, hey, should we go up to North Dakota or do you want to come down here to Florida? I go, guys, it's 20 below outside. I want to go to Florida. Why would you come up here? I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. Say, hey,
Yeah, they are.
Christmas in Miami sounds pretty good. Kind of going back to that initial transition, right? Where you're coming down to the States, and I know you said country land to country land, which fair enough, right? But was there the adjustment of Canada to the US, or was that kind of relatively smooth as well? Countries that are similar in a lot of ways, but also different.
Not much, honestly. I feel like Canada and America are very similar. There's a lot more food options in America, which that was great because I love foods. So,
Same.
yeah, but nothing like too crazy that I can't think of anything.
What's been your favorite place to eat in Miami?
I've been to so many places, that's so hard.
It's a tricky one. We have a lot of good food options down here. Best Food League in Conference USA, down right here.
I would have to say there's this sushi place. It's like in South Beach, and I can't remember what it was called, but I had the best sushi I've ever had in my life.
Seafood, we do very well down here, given that it's, right over there. And speaking of that transition, because you mentioned obviously your pace is your top weapon. When did you realize, hey, I'm faster than the girls around me? I'm able to kind of run around them here and make plays. When did you kind of realize that growing up?
Well, I always did like track cross country as a kid. So like I always knew I was fast, and like in elementary school, I'd always be racing the boys, stuff like that. So like I always knew I was fast, but really just this year I'm kind of now starting to realize that like pace is definitely my number one strength.
And now, as you kind of mentioned, realizing things this year, has that been something Coach Dunn has been kind of emphasizing to you? Like, what has been the process of working with the new head man here in Miami?
Yeah, well, I think he saw it in me before I even saw it. He realized, like she's fast, so we're gonna put her at center forward and see how she does there. And like I just trust what he does. So, I was like, okay, try it out. And then yeah, it's been working great. So I'm loving
I
it.
would say it's been working great. There's no doubt about it. Last one for you, and we'll let you go. Canada has a lot of great things about it, but one thing that it does kind of have to deal with in the States is the stereotypes, right? Where, I think people might be thinking that the first word of your mouth is going to be sorry, or they're surprised when you don't walk up to them and say A at the end. Did you have to deal with that? Were people like, oh, wow, I thought you were going to, say A after every other sentence?
Yeah, apparently I say pardon a lot, which is not
Okay.
common down here to say. And I'm just now realizing I do say that a lot. Instead of like what, I'll be like pardon. I don't say A. That's not a part of my vocabulary. I don't like that. I don't claim that. My mom says it a lot, but we get a lot of maple syrup jokes.
Oh, I'm
That's,
sure.
I do love maple syrup.
I was about to say, look, for whatever the jokes are, the maple syrup up there, it is
It's
different.
so good.
My dad was born in Toronto, so I've been up there plenty, and it's a fun place. It's a fun
Yeah,
place.
it is.
Keep up the great work. It's been so much fun this year. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great catching up with Monty right there. Conference USA's leader in game-winning goals, a huge part of the Panthers' success so far in these last couple of years. And as we transition over to the men's side, it's something very, very similar. Player that's been here for a couple of years, been a massive, massive piece for this FIU side. We'll get the chance to catch up with Nigel van Haveren, the goaltender for this Panther squad, after their massive win against the other new team, in this case in the American, Missouri State, a group that since 2019 has the best record in all of Division One. It was an elite program joining the American. They come in, and in just their second match in league play, FIU welcomes them to Miami with a monumental 1-0 victory. Third straight clean sheet. We'll catch up with the guy responsible for it in Nigel van Haveren here in the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation in treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and as a former police SWAT officer, I know what it takes to build a great team and to be a great operator. I've applied these principles in building the world's only total relocation company. From listing your house for sale to finding your dream home and everything in between, Good Greek can do it all. Good Greek also offers junk removal and auto shipping to complement our renowned moving and storage business. For your total relocation solutions, go to goodgreek.com.
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Joined now by a name that doesn't need much introduction for FIU men's soccer fans. He is maybe the most difficult player to miss in all of the American Conference. Nigel Von Haveren joins us here on the FIU Athletics podcast. And Nigel, I want to dive right in. Three straight clean sheets. What's worked well for you and for this Panther defense here in these last few matches?
What has worked well is the communication within each other. You know, we've been doing well by keeping our line safe, not going out of our shape, staying together, getting our six in front of us to help with either two strikers or, for instance, last match with three tight strikers. So I think communication has been key and working together to limit opposition chances and stuff like that.
Kind of to that point, because this is the deepest FIU soccer team we've seen in a long time on the men's side, you've had to work with so many different center backs and outside backs for that matter. What's that been like for you, kind of being at the center of a shifting defense where you're seeing so many good players, but so many players on that back line?
It's adjusting continuously, you know. So, for instance, Owen is a very different player than Thibaut. Thibaut is a very different player than Matisse. You know, Matisse is more, has his strengths on the ball more. Defensively, he's good, but it's different than Owen defensively. Owen is more aggressive. Yeah. Thibaut in that regard is also different. So it's changing, looking at who do I have in front of me? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? How can I help them, position them in a spot where they can show their strengths, you know? So it's basically adjusting with who do I have in front of me? What are we playing? Are we switching from a four-back to a five-back, for instance, in the last 10 minutes? Who do we have in the center? Maybe someone's on a yellow. We have to manage him a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's continually adjusting. I would say it's more adjusting.
No doubt. Managing someone on a yellow is something that definitely came up in the last few matches.
Yeah.
All worked out well. In that same vein, right? Before this run of matches, you guys get challenged, right? I mean, that was between the road trip and even Stony Brook, a challenging run of play. What were the lessons that you specifically took away from that run that have sparked you guys here in this last few?
I think the biggest lesson is don't shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, we had a lot of games where we were the upper hand. We should have put teams away. We keep them alive by not finishing off plays, by sometimes starting second half sloppy or whatever. You know, we've had some games, very strong first half, second half, we would be slacking down a bit. We've been telling each other like, okay, first half has been done. Like, it's a whole new game. Like, we're going to start second half, full concentration, full energy. Let's keep it clean. Let's do what we do in the first half and continue it instead of maybe mentally checking out a bit. Stuff in that regard, you know, so keeping sharp, make sure we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We don't get lazy. We keep doing our jobs as individuals to stay together and to stay strong as a team.
Our football coach, I guess American football for you, Willie Simmons, says all the time, a sin is a self-inflicted negative, right? And yes. So that's the one big thing you have to avoid. And obviously you guys have in these last few. Over that run, have you found yourself doing anything different stylistically? You know, whether it be more aggression, less aggression, more punches, less punches, stuff like that. Have you found yourself kind of changing your style, or it's just, hey, same old, and the clean sheet speaks for itself?
I changed a little bit with the high balls. Like, there were some plays where I would run into an area with a lot of players, you know, like it would be a challenge. You run into people, it's difficult to hold balls. So we've been working on choosing the right moments to go for a catch and the right moments to go for a punch. So whenever I'm running into traffic, I'm thinking like, okay, let's just put it away, put it up high, put it up front, just to be safe. Like, sometimes you might do it one times too many, but it's better one times too many than not enough, you know, and you get in a duel, ball drops, and it's a situation like that, you know?
For sure.
But for the rest, I'm pretty much holding on to the same stuff I do.
Hey, it works. It's not any type of criticism or issue. You keep doing what you've been doing, and that is a recipe for success, especially when you do get to have those big aerial moments. I know that's your favorite, when you get to rise up over everybody and make a huge play and just kind of remind them how big you are. We got a little taste of that too. If people haven't seen it, I recommend going and catching the interview Nigel did after the match in FIU's biggest win of the year to this point against Missouri State. But Nigel walks up, and I think our camera folks forgot how big you are. And so when you stand next to me, and I'm like at the bottom of the camera shot, and Nigel's hitting the ceiling, provides a little challenge. So I think next time I'll get like a box to stand on after your next clean sheet, and I'll just boost myself up so we can be on the same level.
Or I'll go a few yards back, you know?
Right. I'll just shout back at you, Nigel, what'd you do? Well, you're just standing off camera behind it. Perfect. All right, we got it figured out. You've told this story before, Nigel, but it's really good. When you're young and you're not goaltending, that wasn't where you started, but it kind of changed for you. Take us through how that went, that one random day where you get called on in between the pipes, and all of a sudden, you're a lifelong goaltender.
Basically, when I was young, so I started playing soccer when I was about four or five. I went into my neighborhood club and I was just playing, you know, running after balls like every kid does. And there was a holiday where I went with my parents and my brother, and we were at this beach and there was this inflatable field. So obviously we go and play on the inflatable field. Like we were playing with total strangers. It was like, okay, we need a goalie, you know? So it was like, oh, Nigel, you know, you're the youngest, like just go and go, you know? So I hop in goal and I just saved every single ball from people who were like 25, some were, I don't know, 35. I just saved everything. I was like, this is kind of fun, you know? So after that, when I got back from the holiday, I asked my coach back then, I said, like, oh yeah, I want to start doing goalkeeping. We had a goalkeeper back then in my team. So what they did was, okay, Nigel, you play one game and the other one plays one game. Then you play one game and so on like that. So I did that for a year, and the year after I just started fully goalkeeping, and from there on I just always kept doing it.
Have you ever thought about, say, you guys don't go on that holiday and you don't goaltend, and all of a sudden it's Nigel van Haveren outside back? Like, where do you think you would be if you weren't playing
You imagine me as an outside back?
goalie?
That
You
would
and
be
Owen would be a nightmare, though. Like, for opposing teams, just purely physically, right? Like, they get
Yeah.
off the bus and they're like, we got to get it past those guys. You got to be kidding me.
That's what I said. Like me, Owen, Thibaut, we have some big guys in the team, you know, like we're very intimidating when we step out of a bus.
No doubt.
That's a good thing. I never think about what if I didn't go to that field. Like it doesn't matter because I did. A lot of people think, oh, if he plays soccer, oh, maybe he's a center back, maybe he's a striker. I've heard some crazy stuff like a midfielder. I would never be a midfielder, but okay. But yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I'm a goalie and I love it.
And it's got to be fun for you too, right? Because you're not, typical goalie where you get the ball, you just kick it short to your center back, and that's it. You're a distributor as well, right? And you've got to take a lot of pride in that part of your game.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, coming from the Netherlands is obviously different than what goalkeepers get taught in the US. So in the Netherlands, they are very focused on getting goalkeepers involved in the build, like playing from the back, playing with the sixes, using space up front if it's there. For me, I have a pretty far kick, so I can utilize that as well, you know?
How much of that comes from, because you mentioned the really rich tradition of Dutch goaltenders, and obviously Van der Sar is probably one of the best to ever do it, right? How much were you watching him as a kid, because he was still playing really, really well, like into his 40s, and adopting that style? Because obviously 6'6", big goalie just like you, distributor just like you, sweeper keeper just like you. Was it directly watching him, or was it more of the side effect of, hey, this is how they teach being a goalie over in the Netherlands, because he did it as kind of the shining icon?
I mean, obviously, you watch guys like that, like Van der Sar nowadays, like a Neuer, Ter Stegen, guys like that. But it's very much integrated in the Dutch style. I think Ajax started with it. And from there, it's been kind of taken over by the rest of the Netherlands. Also, the Johan Cruyff mentality of building and utilizing the goalkeepers is basically turned into a culture in the Netherlands to use the goalkeeper, play from the back, almost always in a 4-3-3, you know? So it's more culture. It's more of a culture thing.
And speaking of culture, take us through the days leading up to you deciding to come to the States, right? Because obviously you could have stayed in the Netherlands, you could have continued to develop a pro career, and you'd have been successful in that. But you decide to come over to America and go the college route. Kind of take us through the days and the process leading up to that decision.
So the process is basically talking to a lot of coaches. So I spoke to many different schools. To be honest, it was very pleasant to go through this experience because How it goes in Europe is more like, for instance, let's say you have an agent, right? And your agent, they will talk to some clubs and he's talking about, oh yeah, this club wants you and this and that. And then he'll do the negotiations and all that stuff. And then it's like, okay, this club wants you, is gonna pay this and this and this. And then you just are like, okay, I'm going, you sign a contract and you just get dropped into this new culture. You don't know anybody, you've not spoken to anybody. But over here it was like, okay, I spoke to Coach Kyle for like 1.5 hours. I spoke to Coach Denny for 1.5 hours. Back then it was Coach Lucas, the goalie coach, for 1.5 hours. And it was very different. It was not only like, okay, soccer, soccer, soccer. It was also, how are you as a person? How do you go about your family? How is your school? How is this and that? So it was more like of an all-round picture. I also spoke with Owen. So it was like, you get to know more about the environment you're going into instead of just signing somewhere and it's like, okay, I just get dropped in this whole new environment. That's a very pleasant thing, at least for me, what I've experienced in my way of coming here, is that I would say it's more comfortable to step into a new environment, especially for me, it is on the other side of the world, you know? That made it very nice.
Was it strange back then? Because this is the way of life for a soccer player in Europe, but it sounds odd to an American where you're, 6, 7 years old, right? And these high-level clubs are scouting you because that's how it is. They add to their academy and, they're buying and selling functionally 14-year-old kids. And that's kind of the norm of it. Did that feel weird for you at the time? Or nope, that's just how it is and that's the way it is.
Yeah, for me, it was very normal because it happens all around you, you know, kids getting shoved from place to place. It was very normal. Where I was in Vitesse, for me, it was quite close. It was like, let's say, by car, it was like 30 minutes from my house. So it was very fine. But I know there were kids coming from the other side of the country, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague. And for them, it was like, it was basically them sleeping over in apartments around the city and stuff like that. So for them, it's like, okay, you're 14, 15, 16, and you live away from your parents, away from your family. It's basically what we are doing now, but take it a few years back, you know?
Exactly.
But for us, it's normal.
Having that American mindset, I can't get past it. American football, yeah, you play for your team or whatever, 6, 7, 8, you're playing Pop Warner football, but you're not being scouted by Liverpool or whatever the American equivalent would be, say the Seahawks. They're not scouting a 6-year-old. It's just not how it is. But it is over there, and it's just such a different mindset. Speaking of the mindset, what was those first few weeks like for you as you come from Holland to here in America and specifically Miami? What was that transition like?
So for me, I never really changed my mindset. My mindset is always the same, and that's get the best out of everything, win everything, and do the best I can. And in the first few weeks, it was kind of hard, especially the first 1.5 weeks. The hardest thing is the humidity. You know, I come here so hot. Like I trained whole summer, I train outside. Like it's hot in the Netherlands, but it's like more of a dry heat, you know? So I come here and I was just like looking for oxygen, you know? So, but outside of that, there wasn't really much I had to be accustomed to outside of palm trees outside of my house, but the team was amazing. You know, it's like a big family. So in regards to that, I felt home very quick. So I didn't have any homesickness or anything like that, you know. And it's like you come here with a goal. So it's not like you just step outside of your environment and you're just there like hanging around. We come here, we train, we go for our goals. So it's easy to get accustomed to the environment, to the coaches, new players, stuff like that.
How much did it help having that, use the word environment, international environment, whether it be on campus at FIU, obviously it's in our name, or specifically on this men's soccer team where the grand majority of the roster is international? How much did that help, especially that first couple of weeks in the transition?
I mean, it helps a lot because you all go through the same thing. A lot of them come from approximately where I'm from. So this year we have, for instance, Manu. Manu comes from Belgium, which is like 2 hours from me. We have Flo, which is the other goalkeeper. He lives about 1.5 hours from me in Germany. We're all in the same situation. We're all far from home. We all have a time difference when we call our parents. We all know what we are going through. So I feel like it makes us stick together even more.
It's wild the driving distances you use there also blow the mind of a native Floridian because in Europe you can get, what, half the world within 5 hours. Here, you get in the car for 5 hours and you're just north of Orlando. Like you haven't even left Florida yet.
Yeah, where I'm from. So I live 10 minutes from Germany. I live all the way in the east from the Netherlands. And if you drive 1 hour and 15 minutes, You're all the way at the west side of the country. Like you're all the way around. Over here, you would still be in Miami, you
Exactly. You could
know?
just get into Fort Lauderdale, maybe. Maybe.
Exactly. I could cross three countries in 2 hours.
Speaking of Fort Lauderdale, kind of leads me actually right where I was going to go next. Of when you were playing this summer for Fort Lauderdale, right? A, what was that experience like for you? And B, now having gotten as used to as you can that South Florida weather and that humidity, did you find yourself, hey, I'm used to this, but there's some other guys on the field here, maybe not having played in Florida, and they're like me now, a year and a half ago, suffering through it. And all of a sudden, you're the experienced Florida man.
Yeah, we had a lot of guys that were from around the area. So they were already a bit used to the weather, but there were some guys that they were still struggling. And for me, it was fine. Like I stayed here all summer. I did summer classes as well. So it was good connecting with some of the new guys. So we had some of the new guys that came to the team this year. We had them play with us in Fort Lauderdale. So that already helped with building connections with them, learning how they play in the field and stuff like that. And it was nice to learn a lot of new guys from other schools. So you can kind of compare, okay, this is how things go at FIU. This is how things go at whichever other school, you know? That was very interesting. That was very interesting.
No doubt. And then headed into this year, right? You kind of touched on this earlier a little bit, but FIU gets a new goalkeeper coach. What's that been like for you working with Coach Giuseppe here in this past season so far in a couple months it's been?
It's been great, to be honest. I love him. Coach G is very good. He teaches me a lot of new things. So I love it. You know, I always love to develop and to get better. And he shows me a lot of different angles and also different angles that I'm not used to from having goalkeeper coaches in the Netherlands. So he knows very well how things go in the US. Obviously, he comes from Miami FC, so he knows how things go in professional teams in the US, what goalkeeper coaches want to see. It's been good. Like, it's a very different angle of what I've had before, but I really like it. I really like it. He's very good.
All right, last one for you, and we'll let you go. And it's less a question and more of a reaction because you and I are in the same boat of wrong here, and we're going to have to eat it. So remember in the preseason on content day, we were asking all you guys, hey, what do you think Coach Kyle's karaoke song is?
Karaoke song again?
And well,
Oh,
but no, because
did you
here,
ask him?
I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
Because David Bakuzo said Eminem, and you and I had the exact same look.
There's
There's
no
no
way.
way. That's a ridiculous answer. Why would Boku even say that? And
Yeah.
you're leaving the room laughing at how absurd this answer is from Boku. Kyle Russell said Eminem when we asked
He said Eminem?
him.
There's no way. He said Eminem? That's the biggest
Said
surprise
it has to be the
ever.
clean
Yeah.
version, but he said he's rocking out to some Eminem. And so
It
you
has
and
to
I
be
are dead
that's
wrong.
very much like him. It has to be the clean version.
Yeah, of course.
But he said Eminem. Oh wow. Okay. We learned something new about him today then.
Tell you what, I told him a lot of you guys said chicken fried. He's like, oh, that's a good one too. I didn't even think about that. So he kind of agreed with you when prompted, but Eminem was his natural response. And you and I guess we owe Boku an apology because we were laughing at him and he was right.
I'm flabbergasted. That's crazy.
The right reaction.
Apparently, Boku knows Coach Kyle the best of us. Huh? Wait. Now, that makes me curious. What did Joao say? Because basically, Joao has the most here.
Joao said chicken fried that day.
So Joao
Yeah.
was
Yep. The longest tenured guy. How
Yeah.
about that, right? The
Right?
longest tenured guy was close, but Boku had him beat. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's true. That's funny. All right. We'll let you go. Keep up the good work. Obviously, a big match coming up this weekend against Florida
Yes, sir.
Atlantic, but man, that's a monumental dub you guys got against a very, very good Missouri State team. Nigel, keep up the good work. It's been fun, my friend.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Amazing perspective there from Nigel and to David Bakuzo. We really are sorry. You were right. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast brought to us by Baptist Health. Fall in full swing. Believe it or not, winter sports also right around the corner here in the 305. So, an absolutely jam-packed time to be a part of Panther Nation with things continuing to really just trend up. Be sure to keep it locked at FIUsports.com for all the content and more about what's going on in FIU sports. But for now, and as always, pause up.